हरिः ॐ
सहनाववतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Continuing on page 12. Okay, for peace and happiness in the material world, the Varnashrama institution must be introduced. The symptoms of one's activities must be defined, and one must be educated accordingly. Then spiritual advancement will automatically be possible. Right? So automatically here means because you've made these arrangements, then when you try to apply yourself into the spiritual, it will happen very easily. Right? One may say, oh, but this is Varnashrama's material, but what is keeping us in the material world? It's because the soul is brilliant like a million suns and liberated and like that. That's what's keeping us in the material world, right? No, it's because we identify with that conditioning. So if we don't bring that conditioning, which is the obstacle to our advancement, in line with Krishna's instructions, which are Varnashram, and then according to Krishna's instruction, engage that nature according to that understanding in his service, then how will things work? That's the whole thing. We can't just use word jugglery to put aside something that we don't understand or is foreign to us or is different. Right? Just because it came from a different land does not mean that it's a problem. We have to remember how you say white man came to America from somewhere else. Right? And then those white men came from somewhere else. Prabhupada mentioned when the Parashram was doing his tour, then he went around India, you know. Yeah. And then those who could escape, generally most didn't, but those who could escape from the Kshatriyas, they fled into Central Europe. And then, now, you know, and then always in the European history, there's just people that come out of Central Europe. They don't know where they're from, who they are, or anything. A couple of them, they know their names. You know, the Allens, they know they come from over somewhere. You know, Visigoths came from up north and kind of skirted down East Europe. And stuff like this. But otherwise, they don't know where they came from. They just, so somewhere over there, they came down and settled in Ionia, settled in Greece, settled in Italy. Right? So, they're all coming from over in India. Right? Shudra's escape made it over to Africa. The Vaishya kings escaped, made it over to the Far East. So, we can understand that no matter where you are, everybody's imported. So this whole idea is, no, it's different from us, we can't do that. No, the actual, if we go back to roots, if we go back to the, you know, DNA roots, then everybody comes from over here anyway. So we might as well just learn to live with that and make the appropriate adjustments. Instead of coming up with so many lame excuses. You know what I'm saying? How many times can you use a lame excuse? Right? You know, once, twice, and then it gets old. You know, so after 40, 50 years, these lame, mundane, bodily concept things get old.
Isn't it part of what makes it lame?
That's what makes it lame, and that's what makes it mundane. But because we want mundane, therefore we buy mundane. Right? You know, like the Indian, you know, the government saying, be mundane, buy mundane. Like that.
Buy mundaneness for the mundaneness.
Huh?
by mundaners?
For mundaners, yes. Mm-hmm. Of mundaners. Yes. Yes, so two great nations have been represented in these two statements, yes. Okay. So that's the whole point. Symptoms, you see, what are the symptoms? By that you educate yourself. By that you engage in Krishna service. Very, very simple. We're not talking complicated here. And if people say, oh, that's too complicated, that means, but people go to all these seminars and all that, they're not complicated?
It's actually the opposite. It's too simple.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's so simple. Like I mentioned, there was that, he was a, what was he? I think he was an MA. Math major. Right? And so he was into math, and somehow or another he was in Mayapur. Why, I don't know, but he was visiting. But he wasn't a devotee. But it was like interesting what was going on. I don't know if he had just was traveling in India, came, or just, or what was the reason. But all I remember is he was a math major, and he was an MA in math. You know, so quite well studied in math, quite enthusiastic about math. So then I thought, okay, here's someone you can discuss about the Vedic math with that. And then I explained how in the Vedic math system, everything's broken down, so actually all it is addition and various ways to put addition together. Right? You add forwards, it's addition, you add backwards, you get subtraction, you add in groups, you get multiplication, you reverse that and you get division. And everything's based on that. Now you put that together, multiple things, you're using that on angles, using that on volumes, and like that. And I thought, he would go, wow, that's cool. But he went, I don't like it. And I said, what's the problem? He says, I like the complexness in that and thinking that this is something, you know, really, you know, no one else can understand and I'm getting in there and doing all the things. He said he didn't like that it was so simple that, you know, you could teach the concept of algebra, geometry, and trigonometry to, you know, an 8-year-old. He didn't like that. Because he was a math major. Yeah, he says, so. You have to be the brain, you're the intelligent man, everybody else is an idiot. So you do have that aspect. But the Vedics, you know, from the point he said it's too simple, that's why people don't like Varnashram. It is too simple, right? Are you unmarried and haven't been married? And you're, you know, studying, okay? That's not rocket science, okay? Are you married? Are in some concept of getting married, wish you were married, have been married, but, you know, I mean, you know, how you say, you have 56 options as Facebook points out.
It's complicated.
Yes, it's complicated. Or is that you've been married, it's kind of been there, done that, moving on with life, right? Or one's in a renounced position where one's not really dealing with this. Was that rocket science, right? So Varna is just as easy. Right? Are you working for someone like that, or you're doing your own thing, but it's what you're doing is just providing a service for others who actually do something. Right? That's one option. Are you taking a lead in economic developments? Means you take things and somehow turn it into profit yourself. Not working under someone, you can do that yourself. Or also, can you grow carrots? Okay. Or are you able to understand the principle of governance? Not bureaucracy, you know, like that, but governance, how it works. You protect the people. So you use management to protect people, right? And we don't mean, you know, you go door to door and tell the guy at the pizzeria that, you know, you'll take care of his shop and make sure no one else bothers him. That's business. That's not administration. Okay? Yes. Or is it that you're working in the area of knowledge? That's where your risk is. Where's your risk? Is it in knowledge, administration, in money, or just in your own personal, you know, position? So it's not rocket science. But because it's so simple, everyone's afraid of it. You know, no one minds being, yeah, I'm a grihastha or I'm not, or I'm a brahmacharya or not, but no one wants to be, oh, I'm a brahmin or I'm a vaishya, I'm a, no one wants that. Right? That's the problem. So, you know.
It seems like the ashram is equally complicated for many.
It is because they don't want to acknowledge. But what's complicated? Are you married or not? Oh, no, they want to make it complicated. Yeah. You know, because you want everything, but you don't want any responsibility, and so therefore you end up with a bachelor ashram. You like that. But they're grihasthas, but the idea is they're not grihasthas because they're not with the wife. No, grihastha is the mentality. That's why it mentioned Lord Chaitanya got married, because a grihastha should have a wife. Does that make sense? In other words, he was living at home, so he's a grihastha. But he didn't have a wife, so therefore better a grihastha has a wife, so he got married. Right? It's taken, no, if you're married, then you're a grihastha. No, if you have stuff, this is mine, you follow your own program, your own schedule, that's a grihastha. Right? Does that make sense? That's why it says, generally speaking, shudras are always grihasthas.
Just by mentality.
Just by mentality. Like that. Does that make sense? So even they're going to school, technically the grihasthas. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Does that make sense? It's quite simple. But the problem is people want to make it complicated because it feels more adult. Because that's the thing, is the varnashram system, it's easier to teach it to kids than adults. Because kids just learn things because that's the way it is, and adults, then they want to filter it through their adultness. You know, like that.
Is it also that it seems restrictive rather than liberating?
Yes, it seems restrictive because they don't. But at the same time, is it restrictive? All the laws on the street. I think it's Australia. Generally speaking, no one passes on their first try. Some on the second, but get a driver's license. But on the third try, that's when they get it. But I mean, I remember in America, it's pretty common that you pass on your first. But that's another thing. But it's not uncommon.
Yeah, yeah, no,
but there, it's common. No one passes on the first one. You know, because it's so complicated, all their rules on that. I mean, I remember driving down the street in England. They got all kinds of things on the street you've never seen before. Little zigzaggy things and this and double line here. And it's double and it's red, but it's double and it's yellow. And it's this and that. And, you know, America just has, you have a white line down the middle. If it's solid, you don't pass. And if it's got gaps in it, you pass. You know, right ball. You know.
Then there's India.
that you just get in the car and you're driving.
As long as the horn's working.
Yeah, as long as the horn's working, you're good. Yeah, guy gets in the car. Can you drive? And he goes, just let me check. Pushes the horn. If it works, it says yes. If it doesn't work, no, sorry.
I can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, just too dangerous.
They should just have an app that you just clip onto the steering wheel. It just presses the horn. Or just regularly, you know, like the flashing lights.
Yes, exactly.
The beep, 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 beep. And then you just drive. You know, you're good. That would actually be quite good. You could probably make a lot of money off of that. Yeah, okay.
India's a big country.
Yeah, yes. Does chart define the varna?
Yeah.
Depends what you're looking at in the chart. See, there's the chart that defines varna, but meaning if it's daiva, manusha, or rakshasa. Like there's that aspect that they call that varna. Like that, you know. So that's one thing. Or I can say that there are these elements, but you can get an idea. They may be able to more or less. But the point is that it's what you do with it. It defines you there. Like somebody may have great musical talent, but doesn't mean he's a musician, right? Is Hanuman known as a musician? No, but he's got very good musical talent. Right? Arjuna, is he known as a musician? No, but he's got even better musical talent, you know, from the heavenly planets. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is this, one has to be very careful on your understanding so that you can tell. So probably those who are more educated could have a pretty good solid idea.
In Russian, it's a question, like you go to astrologer, I would personally ask, so what's my mind actually doing?
No, the point is what do you do defines your varna. Not what's my varna, what should I do?
Yeah.
that's it goes the other way, because it's a practical thing. Like that, association, what you do with it, because you might have it brahminical, but you're not following it, so then you're a dvija bandhu, right? Okay, so the point that Prabhupada's making here is that Shankara is not good because it's unscientific. You can't tell who's who, so therefore you can't know who does what duties. Right? So the main thing is that you know who you are, you perform the duties. As a side thing within that, then how do you know who to marry if you don't know who you are? Right? If you're having an existential crisis, then don't marry, get married unless you find someone who has the exact same existential crisis. You know, if they get out of bed in the morning, they look at the floor and wonder, if I put my foot on it, will I go through to the next floor because it's all just atoms that are moving, then, and they both think that, you know, then...
That was Hume.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you find someone like that, yeah. Hey, then, yeah, then it'll
knock
work.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah, so...
Or knock each other out.
Yeah.
Also.
Or knock out the person on the next floor down as you go falling through. Yeah, okay. It could be an advantage if you're late for breakfast. Okay, Sri Narad Muni continued. Or if you get your trajectory right, you could travel anywhere in the world, right? You just, depending on which angle you go out, then you could go through and come out on the other side of the planet. So.
I was just giving class on Vasudev Ghosh because it's his disappearance day today. So Mahaprabhu was saying that when he starts to sing, stone and wood melts. So if you're on the first floor and you've got to go to the ground floor, you just
get him
bring
to
out
sing.
The song.
Yeah, okay.
Some things to consider when you're having bhajan night.
Just you have to consider what kind of stone it is, so how long he has to sing before,
yes.
How much it's melted.
Maybe wood is better.
Sri Narad Muni continued. A chaste woman must dress nicely and decorate herself with golden ornaments for the pleasure of her husband. Always wearing clean and attractive garments, she should sweep and clean the household with water and other liquids so that the entire house is always pure and clean. Okay. Sorry? Yes, that's the whole point. That's why... In other words, that's why one has to do these things, because the guy is making a mess out of it. See, the whole point is, okay, now, before, let's say we take the you know, modern kind of standard. Okay, now the girls that are not married would like to get married. How do they dress? Do they dress nicely or not nicely? Okay, and then once, so what's the point? Why get dressed nicely? To attract. Okay. So once you've attracted, does that mean that the work is over? Yes.
And there we are.
Yes. And so, but the point is in the position of attraction, is the sense of illusion a bit stronger?
Stronger.
Yes. And so therefore are the tasks that are accomplishable greater? Okay, so therefore, wouldn't it be intelligent to therefore continue the attractive feature so that, you know, greater and greater things can be done? Right? Does that make sense? So the whole idea is she dresses nice, she looks nice, then he continues to be attracted. Because he's attracted, he's inspired to do his duties. Because otherwise, why should you get on the train for 2 hours down there, work at a place you hate, and then 2 hours back, unless there's some attraction? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. So he does his duties because he's attracted. So that, therefore, it's part of the thing to do that. But of course, it has to be balanced with how much he's worth. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can say, the man can say, see, she's supposed to dress up, but only how much the guy is actually valued, how much he's worth.
That's how you judge.
Yes, so I mean, if you're going to get mercenary, it goes the other way. It goes, you know, so you can't play with this. You know, nobody can say, see, you know, no, you can't do that. Because as soon as you do that, then there's another side that you know, how you say, yes. In other words, if it's there and bites you, it's not as bad as if it goes around and bites you. Okay, so therefore, that's why I decorate. According to the situation, according to that, that's why if you like dressing up, you marry someone who appreciates you dressing up. You know, you don't like dressing up so much, you marry someone who he's comfortable with that. You know, otherwise, then why would you be inspired? Because the point is a girl dresses up, but the point is he's supposed to say something. Right? Because the point is, before marriage, he dresses up, he generally says something. And if he never notices, then it's the wrong guy. You know. So that should continue also. Because the point is that she makes the effort, that has to be reciprocated. But right now we're talking the duties of women. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore we stick to that here. Because we saw in other places that it mentions how I think it was with Priyavrata, how he spoke with his wife nicely and did everything like that, and how Krishna, he acts like a henpecked husband. These are the other points. These are where the men, that's what they do. But this is what the women are doing. Because they're doing it, then the man must notice. And if he doesn't notice, that's where, you know, the appropriate disciplinary action is taken.
Appropriate.
Yes. Yes.
Appropriate. Maybe that's where the baggy t-shirt comes from.
Can be, but, you know, the last 5 years of baggy t-shirts and it's not getting any effect, and
he's not worse.
That's there, but he's been married, so that's what you have to deal with. So, in other words, get something. It's better than nothing, because the baggy t-shirt means that also may be how he's dealing on the occupational platform also and his endeavor. So everything just goes down, you know. But the advantage, baggy t-shirts are cheap. You get them in the bin, right? In other words, if it's on a hanger, then it costs more than if it's in a bin. And the ones in the bin are generally the baggy ones that have the funny colors. Yeah, so it does kind of work out.
Silver lining.
Yes, yes. Okay, clean and attractive garments. Right? So it's decorating is one thing, and then there's the clean and attractive. Clean, because the point is if we see cleaning is a very major aspect of the feminine mentality, because clean environment means the mind will be peaceful. If the environment's dirty, the mind will be disturbed. And since the feminine nature is based in mind, therefore, if the environment's not clean, the woman will feel uncomfortable. Does that make sense? Yes.
We see so many ladies, they feel totally comfortable in a very dirty environment.
Yes, but for them, when the man comes into that dirty environment and makes it dirtier than the dirty environment they're comfortable with, then it's a problem. Right? You know, in other words, the coffee table looks like a bomb hit it, and then he comes and sits down on the couch and puts his feet on the coffee table. We got a problem. You know, especially if there's still a few pieces of pizza in that pizza box that's on the coffee table. It's like, you know, you don't put your feet on top of the box because there's still something in it. Because what happens is you put your feet on the box, it smushes it. Then when you open the box, either the whole thing sticks to the top or it sits there, and when you open it, the cheeses come off. So this is the problem. So what self, I say, respecting girl is going to tolerate that? Yeah, so the point is that's what it means. Rakshasa means they live like slobs and they don't notice. So that's why it says in the chart, Rakshasa must marry Rakshasa. Daiva means it always has to be clean and tidy. Right? So they must marry each other. And Manusha means it starts out clean, gets to be a total mess, and then they clean it up again. You understand? So in other words, the upper two is that, you know, there's more variety in the middle. So you have the greatest variety, the greatest taste in minutiae. Right? Well, David's always nice, and a little bit here and there, but, you know, it's always nice, and the other one is always looks terrible. So that's what you're looking at there when you say the girl, because the point is the girl is going to be cleaner than the boy of the same nature. So if you match it, then they'll always be the same taste. That's the science. You want to match it. Because then when it's matched, then the grihastha experience is the same. It doesn't matter, oh, they're richer, they have more facility. No, the experience is the same because they match. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. With water and other liquids so that the entire house is always pure and clean. So it's not only clean, it also has this point of purity. So that means you actually have to know what cleanliness is and how to maintain cleanliness. So that means the pancharatric thing of being on time and being clean. Then we see is the man's got to be on time, the woman doesn't. The woman has to be is going to be into cleanliness, the guy may not be. Does that make sense? So in that way then, you know, how you say, it works out. Right, so the guy can be trained in cleanliness, but it doesn't mean she's going to make any adjustments on being on time. Right? That's just the way it goes. That has to be understood. Okay, so pure and clean, not just clean. So in clean, that will be that the things are clean, there's no dirt. But at the same time, it's also clean in that it's aesthetically clean. Right, things are in the proper place, balanced and stuff like that. That's not known as well. Some clean, but some don't know how to put things. Like I remember, back in the 90s, in traveling, someone come in, clean the room, how things were on the table. You come back, the table would be clean, they'd be in the same place. Or at least they'd be in a nice place. But I noticed starting in mid-noughts, then the table has been cleaned, but things are just all over the place and there's no aesthetic concept. So it's just these things are being lost. And so then, you know, there won't be as much satisfaction. Okay. Does that make sense? Yes. And then pure, that means what are the standards as what makes things pure? How to deal with them so purity is maintained. Yes.
Will the men have the same sense of aesthetics or not necessarily?
They'll have at least the same of appreciation. In other words, what sense of aesthetics they both have, just she may be actively doing it, he may or may not be. Well, you have ones that they also are, but then you'd have the woman is of that same kind of thing. He independently does, she can independently do it. It's not out of duty, it's just that's just the nature they're doing. She does out of duty, he appreciates that out of duty. So, in other words, it's always about balance. It's always about a match. That's what's... Yeah. Okay. She should collect the household paraphernalia and keep the house always aromatic with incense and flowers and must be ready to execute the desires of her husband. So collect the household paraphernalia. That means anything on any level. Like that, because she manages the house. So to collect the paraphernalia, here's a side point that may not be gained. To collect the paraphernalia means what? You just go out in your backyard and pick it up, or you might have to go to the shop. And if you go into the shop, pick something up, take it home, is that appreciated? You got to pay him. Yeah, strange thing. So since she has to pay him, what does this mean?
The man's got to bring home some money.
Yeah. And but besides that, he's brought the money, but who's in control of it?
She is.
Yeah.
She is.
You understand? So everything's going to have both sides. Why does she have to collect? But that means she has the money. Whoever's getting the stuff has the money. Right? So whatever's the household budget, she takes care of that. But that means technically she pays the bills, she does all the different things, she does all that stuff. Nowadays, that's all considered the man's stuff. In the Vedic, no, that was the woman's stuff. So that's a lot of things is in the modern concept of the feminine, that's not what the Vedic would have. No, she runs the house. He runs what's outside the house so that she can run the house. Right? So if she doesn't have control at home, then there's the idea, why can't she control outside? If she controls the home, therefore, then he controls outside. Otherwise, how do you... You're trying to do both, it doesn't work out so good. Right? Like that. So she sees to getting all those things and also according to when they're available. when there's, you know, when things are on sale, do it according to season or times of, you know, whatever is the thing, she gets things at that time. She stocks in that way. So in other words, get things at proper times, at proper places, proper volumes. That's her business. Like traditionally, it's like spices, they're grown in one particular season. Spices properly kept last for one full year. So that means she buys the spice for that whole year at that one time. It's cheaper. It means you can buy it every month, but it will get more and more expensive as you go. Does that make sense? So these are this is meaning about the paraphernalia. And then you need something in the house, this and that. She does it. The budget's hers. She goes over budget. It's her problem. Not that, you know, he doesn't work it out, but she can't just figure, it's just, no, this is how much you have. You have to learn, like, live like that. And she also has to keep for emergency. This is not the one quarter emergency that Rupa Goswami talks about. That's a different thing. This is about what you're living off of. You always have to keep something because things always come up that you don't expect. Right? So that's her business to do. That means she has to use her brains. She has to deal with the account. She has to deal with all those things. Right? So then that keeps one busy. Does that make sense? So this concept that, you know, just a wallflower, you know, that's not the Vedic system. She runs the place. You know? Like the palace. The king manages the kingdom. She manages the palace. You know, the guards, the security and all that the husband is doing, but how it's being kept, how it's being cleaned and maintained, that she's doing. So when it says that, Kamsa gave his sister, who gave? Can't remember, but whatever it is, she ended up with 2,000 maidservants as part of the wedding arrangement. So that means she's managing 2,000 maidservants. Because she's a queen, so they clean the palace. So the same thing is going on here. Sorry? Devahuti. Okay. But it's also in another place. In Krishna book, it's also there. I think it was Devaki, yeah. So it's a common thing. So 2,000 seems to be fairly standard.
Yes. Good number.
Yeah, it's good. You know, we just may have to take off a few zeros.
Two.
Only two zeros.
No.
Oh, just left with two. Means
yeah.
Take off three zeros.
Yeah.
And if you're aristocratic, you might have take off two zeros.
Yes.
But you never hear of anything with more than that. Some of these kings and stuff, you know, before, they might have a few hundred, but never thousands. So, you know, so that's the point, you know. They were
busy.
Yeah. So, okay.
Maybe this was Vaidhu, but he was not so happy in the forest.
Sorry?
Maybe this was Vaidhu, but he was not so happy in the forest. He used to sing the...
No, but she wasn't happy in the forest because her husbands should be emperors and you have a rat bag sitting on the throne.
Right. I know that.
That's... No. Because the point is... She joined the Pandavas when they had nothing, so that's not going to be the point. Because they're there, she's there. She follows the vow of her husband, so that won't be the problem. What she doesn't like is that Yudhishthira should be the emperor of the world, is sleeping on the ground. That's her problem. So that would be there. Because she has hundreds of thousands of Brahmins to feed anyway, so she's, as far as organizing things and all that, she has plenty to do. So it's not like they're all out there and, you know, nothing to do like that. Because she cooks. She cooks. She serves. And as soon as she's eaten, then there's nothing on the plate. Like that.
I just thought that she also, as a queen, would engage so many citizens in that proper.
But they're there, when they're in the kingdom, they'll do that. But she never mentions that as any kind of part time that's her anxiety. Like that, yeah. Because the point is Kshatriyas are like Brahmins. Just they are comfortable with doing administration. While Brahmins know the science but aren't comfortable in doing the administration. That's the difference. So to do the administration, then they have to have that valor, that bravery, that, you know, all these different things, not be lazy, this and that. You know what I'm saying? So the Brahmin, he has to be studious, he has to perform his duties. So that means he's not lazy, but he physically doesn't have to get up and do anything. He's sitting there chanting, he reads, he does his puja, it's all right in, you know, basically one room. But for the king, he's in his palace to check the army. He has to go out. They may have formal things, he'll come to his balcony and that, and they'll do a whole display, but he actually has to go into the armory, see the armor, go into the stables, see the horses, go into the different things and see them himself. So that's why he has to not be physically lazy. Because he could just sit back and send somebody to go do it. But they can't do that. They have to see it themselves. Because otherwise, how much can you trust others? Right? That's the whole thing. That's the one thing you learn as a king really quick. You can't really trust anybody. Right? You know, there's a few, but, you know, you're careful. Like that. You know, so, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Completely.
The man has to get it. She pays it, and so then they kind of work it out how much the budget is and how much. If she needs more, then he has to figure out how to get more money, or that's all he can get, so she has to adjust with that. In other words, there's option you could get more. That's between them to work out if that's what they want to do. But it's what he has in nature, what he actually can produce, that's what she makes the budget within. Right? Because what's that going to be connected with? Because we're discussing here chastity. What's the other major quality? Satisfaction. So that means what is the budget, she has to be satisfied with that. And then create a variety and other things within that. Does that make sense? You know, because otherwise you could have, you know, 7 Learjets with different colors, one for each day of the week, you know. And that's the Learjets, you know. Then what about, you know, if you want to have a party, you know, so then you have your, you know. What is it? What's the big one now? A380?
Yeah.
Double-decker, you know, like that. That's for, well, if you want to take friends and have a party or a sleepover. You know, so where does it end? There is no end. Does that make sense?
Can we say that he puts the boundaries, right, for the kids?
That's the vow. What is his vow, then that within that she has to function. She shouldn't try to break that, because if she breaks that vow, what else will be broken? If he gives up his you know, what he considers are his core values, where can it go from there? Then why should it just be he'll stick with her? If he can break, you know, how he lives his lifestyle, does his puja, goes to the temple, chants his rounds, and she doesn't think that's important, then what's that, you know, that's a major thing on spiritual life. What's to stop him from going off with any girl who's willing? And then she can't say, you know, why is that? You know, this is not proper. It says, but the other's not proper. That's why it mentions she doesn't break his vow. That's what she has to know, is that this is the thing, you don't move that. But what's inside that, that's what you have control of. Okay. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. So it's a science. If it's understood, then it's so much easier if you grow up in families that already are practicing it, so then you pick up most of it just by that. And then key points are explained, so then you have, by your own practice, you get realization. But if not, then these things have to be discussed and understood. But then it has to be value. Otherwise, then, does it make sense? Yeah, otherwise, where's the force? Huh? Oh, you have to go see it. Oh, okay, so he's waiting for you. Okay. I was wondering, why is he? Is he going to text me? Okay.
Ladies are known as great advisors.
Ladies are known as great advisors. Sorry?
They're not advising on the vow.
No, how to maintain it, how to develop it or improve it.
But they have no right to, like...
But you can't change it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, he's someone who always goes to the morning program. So unless there's some other emergency or this or that, it's obvious that it has to be adjusted. then that's done. But it can't be that, oh, going to the morning program, this is too much, this is fanatic, you know, why do we have to be done? That one should get involved in. Because otherwise, then he's coming down from a standard that's already there. Then what benefit is that? Marriage is supposed to be an elevating thing, not a degrading thing. Because if you want degrading, then why does he have to have a wife? Prostitutes are already good at that. In fact, they're better at it. Right? But is it means, you know, okay, if it's uplifting instead of chanting your rounds after Mangala Arati, getting up and chanting them before Mangala Arati, okay, then we could say, yeah, that's fine. But the point is it shouldn't be that she's from a higher standard and therefore trying to bring him up to that. Because that may not work. That's why Pratiloma is not recommended. Right? Means, what's her name? Devayani. She's a Brahmin. Right? And not just any old Brahmin, but, you know, you could say the number two Brahmin in the universal social network. Right? Does that make sense? You know, we're not talking about, you know, Bhrigu, he's beyond that. The Prajapatis are not. But within, like, the demigods kind of and all that, and the demons and all that, he's number two. At least from our viewpoint. From their viewpoint, he's probably number one. And then, and Brihaspati is number two. You know, however you want to look at it. But the point is, and so she's not from just any old, but she's married a king, who's an emperor, so at least it's not some just small-time, you know, guy. But she's a queen then. Right? Understand? So, when she was cursed by Kacha, that she would not be able to marry a Brahmin boy, that was a curse. It wasn't that you can't marry a Brahmin boy who has nothing and, you know, like that, but you can marry an emperor. No, because then she can't function according to her natural nature. She has to act as a queen. Like, I remember one lady, her husband is ridiculously rich. I mean, you know, up in the top few numbers of Forbes kind of rich, like that. And they're both from the business community, but she was from the village, you know, it means, in other words, he had been, whether he was from there or not, but whatever, he was good, and they, you know, took over some companies that the government was shedding because, you know, they nationalized industry and it never works very nicely because when bureaucrats try to run a business, it never works, but Vaishya's businessmen run a business, it works. So he took the thing and turned it into, you know, $1 billion business. You know, literally. They fly back and forth between London and India twice a month in their own private jet. Okay? We kind of got the background? Okay, you got it pretty much figured out.
Pretty good idea.
We were sitting and she was saying that, you know, saying about, you know, doing that. She was so expert at all the arrangements and all that. We had a program at the house. She says, actually, I miss the simple life. You know, just the village and just the simple and all the different things like that. And it says all this stuff is that, you know, it's not, she does it well. No grudging because this is the husband's committed to this life, she's assisting there. But the point is she herself preferred. So that's the point of nature. So here, it's equal nature, but there might be a slight difference in taste. So that's a detail that you can work with. But difference in nature, that's always going to be a problem. So here, it's not a matter of taste. You know, he's a flamboyant Kshatriya and she's a more reserved or old school Kshatriya. No. You know, nouveau Kshatriya and, you know, old school Kshatriya. No, this was, it's not so different in taste. It's that she's a Brahmin and he's a Kshatriya. So it's never going to be that great. But it'll work. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they'll make it work. Because that's the whole point. They're committed, they'll make it work. So that's not the point. But the point is it's the idea, the Vedic idea is make it as easy as possible. Because already it's a problem. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
If we take the spectrum of devotional service regarding tastes,
yes.
They might be different in the sense that somebody likes kirtan, somebody lives cut hard.
That's fine. That's not a problem at all. The point is that they both like devotional service. Like I noticed with, at least it was, it means it goes different ways, but I noticed this on kind of those who come from backgrounds where it's more kind of a little bit more the older traditions, like that, is that the whole family, we're talking about a big family, they all notice this. I forget what it is. I think I was staying at their house and that. Then we go to the temple, you know, for the program and stuff like that. They'd all be talking about this and that and all, excited to go to the temple. As soon as they got out of the car, then they all said Hari Bol and went off, and there were five members of the family, all went off in five different directions. And then when the program was finished, they all came back together and that, got in the car, talked about what a great time it was at the temple, and they're all excited. So in their minds, they all did the same thing, which was do service at the temple. But what specific services they did, that was totally different. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, or I met this one couple, I think it was in Hungary. And sometimes I'd see him, sometimes I'd see her. And so after some years, I asked about that. He says that because, you know, we have limited time on different things, we can't both get away from the house because of something. I don't know if it was the kid or something else. And so they just work it out that, you know, one time one comes, the next year the other one comes. And so for them, they're both doing the same thing. You know, it's not like, how you say, kind of the some more modern concept where if you're not breathing at the same time, then, you know, there's something wrong, you know. Are we actually compatible? Oh, no. You know, like that. No, we're not talking that kind of sense. You know what I'm saying? So it may be that's the taste. They like to do everything together. And there are couples that do that, and it works really well. But it can be is that there's the principle that they like to do together, and then the detail may be very different. So that's the point, is that if it's a matter of that, then that you match with somebody who's like that. These are all the things to figure out. And is that going to be figured out by the boy and girl coming together and somebody goes like that? Is that that's going to work it all out, right? That's going to, you know, everything. Yeah, I can just tell. You know. Yeah. No. So that's why there has to be someone doing some background work. Because this other stuff, you're not going to tell. The only thing you can do is tell us whether you want to get attached or not. That's all. But one can get attached to all kinds of stuff that you don't need. Right? That 57th pair of shoes. You don't need it, but you can be really attached to it. So that's why the Vedic system is more scientific. The point is, yeah, don't get attached to something that you're not, can't commit to. That's it. And we don't mean for a few days, a few months, or, you know, 3 years, we mean, or 2 years, excuse me. The third year is spent, you know, basically figuring it's not going to work, but maybe, and then after the third year, then papers are signed. Yeah, so we mean more than that. Okay. Okay. Aromatic, incense, flowers, nice. It looks nice, it smells nice, because everything's nice and smelled, because the point is the guy on his own, he doesn't do that. He can live in a closet, you know, that sleeping bag hasn't been washed in the last 10 years. And he may not notice. So when the place is nice and clean, he notices. So why does that? Because she did that. So he appreciates, he understands him. That's the point. She controls the environment, but it's not directly, it's indirectly. That's the whole secret, is the feminine natures control everything indirectly. Right? You don't want them to wear a particular shirt to a particular program, it happens to be dirty. You know, so the one you want them to wear, that's all there is, you know. You know what I'm saying? It's not direct. You know, the ladies that go, no, you're wearing this shirt, then there's going to be a problem. Because as soon as you say that, he'll say, no, I want to wear my own shirt. You know, I'm the big boy. I can choose my own shirt. It's kind of like, okay, let's be real here. What do you mean? You know, that is, just gets worse. So you can't be so realistic. That's why it's mentioned. Everybody does. Everybody knows. But because it's not talked about, it goes on nicely. Because as soon as you bring it to the front, then it's a problem. Because we really want to be realistic, then we have Vedanta in the Upanishads. And why are we involved in this anyway? Right? So since we're going to be involved with illusion, the idea is how to tastefully maintain the illusion so that it's workable in Krishna consciousness. This makes sense? Yes? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a science, you know. You can say whatever you like, but the point is this, you know. Anything against this is only mundane, you know, basic unpious attachment. That's all there is. This is no good argument. Okay. And be ready to execute the desires of a husband. So that's the whole point, is marry someone who his desires is what you want to follow. Not that, okay, I'll change that. No, you can change it from him wearing a dirty shirt to a clean shirt.
It means 90% is good.
Huh?
90% of the desires.
It means of his desires.
Okay, about him.
That's the point. Is that, you know? But it means also executing the desires of a husband. It should be that those desires are what's authorized. You know, it's proper. It's appropriate. What should be done? You know. Yeah. Okay. Being modest and truthful, controlling her senses, and speaking in sweet words, a chaste woman should engage in the service of her husband with love according to time and circumstances. So time and circumstances. The alone is one thing, others are there, depending on who it is, it changes, or in public it changes. So always that affectionate dealing, but it's what it looks like. So this whole idea is that they have to take their bedroom out onto the street. That's not time and circumstance. That's called, I mean, it is, of course, time and circumstance if you're a dog. Then it's fine. But the recommendation for humans is crow. Has anybody ever actually seen a crow's nest? I'm not talking about the one on a ship. You understand? Have you ever seen crows mating? No, never. Because you'll never see it. They make sure of that. But it's not by accident. That's the recommendation for humans. On the street, that's the recommendation for dogs. So that's according to time and circumstance. Okay. Being modest and truthful means that she's controlling everything, but she's not trying to gain the appreciation for that. But the women want to do that now. The point is they if a man was trying to take the appreciation for things in the way that a woman is trying to do in the modern sense, you would say this guy's downright disgusting. But if women do it, it's all right. So that's the thing, it's inappropriate, is that it's either you're going to do man stuff and do, you know, be like man, or you do woman stuff and be like that. But if it's going to be you have all the things of the feminine and all the benefits of the masculine, where's the masculine? Where can the men just be gross and rough and burp and nobody cares? Right? You know? And the only place we ever see that is out on the range. So, and why? Because there's no ladies out there. So that's the whole thing. As soon as you mix the environment, then there's specific duties. You know what I'm saying? Women complain the men are gross. But that's when they're mixed. But when women are just with women, the things they talk about are so gross and that men would never sit around and talk about that stuff. No? Yeah, so that's the whole point is that one has to know, the point is it's when they're mixed, that's where all the rules come in. When it's just men with men, just women with women, there's very minimal rules. All the rules come in when the two come together. Like that. Like you hear, modest, control of the senses, speaking in sweet words, engaging in the service. If women are just with women, do they need to do this? No, they're the roughest, you know, how you say. Whatever it is, there's no term for it because that would be improper. Like that. But we have to say like this. The men getting together and it's, what is it? Rough as guts. I think that's the Australian saying. Rough as guts. And that's nothing compared to when the women get together. So the point is there is no words for it. So, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. The rules are for when they get together. Like that. Because on their own, then they each have their own nature, how they deal and everything like that. And so that's the point. The Vedic system, the women can be women, the men can be men, and then there's the social interaction. So this thing where men are never on their own, women are never on their own, this won't work. Because then you can't be yourself. So therefore the modesty has come there. Truthfulness, it means it's straightforward. Like that. Ideal truth means it's about Krishna, modesty because we're humble, because it's about, you know, we're not the doer. But whatever, controlling the senses, because if you don't control the senses, you lose. You have to plan. Okay, we're keeping this for that program. You could eat it now, but then you won't have it in the program. So that means control of the senses. Because if she doesn't control hers, how will she control his? Right? Just like his duty is to control his senses because he's trying and she's controlling hers, which she can do, then therefore she can help him control his. Just like if she's trying to be chaste and satisfied, she's making that endeavor, he can help. But the point is, if the other one's not doing it, you can't help. But then that means you're doing yourself. Does that make sense? Okay. So for her, controlling senses is a thing she does. For the men, that is the thing they do. Because when you cut it all down, he controls his senses, he's sensitive to the needs of the wife. She's chaste, she is satisfied. Right? Does that make sense? So if you're chaste, you can be satisfied. If you're not chaste, you can't be satisfied. If you don't control your senses, you cannot be sensitive. You understand? And if you're controlling your senses, then you can support chastity. If you're controlling your senses, then the woman is comfortable being chaste. Well, you can say, well, what about the other way? But the point is men like that point that the men are leading, the woman's following. So since that's popular, then we'll keep it at that. Okay? He controls his senses, she, it's easy to be chaste. He's sensitive, it's easy for her to be satisfied. Because she's satisfied with what she has, but he's sensitive to what her needs are. So if there's something more than what she has is needed, he'll get it. Not, oh, she should be satisfied, and he doesn't make any endeavor. It's a dynamic. Does that make sense? Like that. So these two qualities, they nourish you. These are the main. Then from those expand into all the other duties. So all these things are there. So it says controlling the senses, but for her, it just makes it practical for her. Because if she has, like you said, if she has something, she wanted to use it for something else that was bigger, but somehow or another she used it now, when it comes to the time when she could have used it to better advantage, then she'll lament. So to avoid that, she controls her senses. Does that make sense? Okay. Speaking in sweet words. This is a very, very important one. Prabhupada brings this up all the time. You know, when he cuts it down also, then you always hear this one being brought up. The point is sweet words, it says. It doesn't say sweet, conversation or sweet information or sweet, intent. You get the idea of what I'm saying? In other words, she can be ripping the guy to shreds, but she's just using sweet words. What can you say if someone's doing that? You know, if you say, you know, how many times I told you, drop the socks here, I hate that, it is like that, you know, you're just an animal. Then how does that work out? And he's thinking, you know, I worked all day and this and that, and I come home and this is what I get. Like this, right? Okay, and if she just goes this, you know, I so much appreciated, you know, when there and the sensitivity you had, and then now it's not there, and it's just really distressing that, you know, you're so inconsiderate that you're dropping socks all over the house. I don't understand. What is the guy supposed to do? He'll just go pick up the socks. You understand? When it says they're speaking in sweet words, this is how you get anything done. I mean literally anything. But you explain this, and no, why do I have... okay, hey, you know, that's why, all languages of the world refer to the, you know, because it's guna and karma, and so that they always refer to the guna and karma of a female canine.
Yeah.
But if you use sweet words, no one can say that. And you get everything done. So the point is you yell and scream, nothing happens.
And that's why you keep yelling and screaming.
Yeah, and then they keep yelling and screaming. The t-shirts get baggier. like that. And nothing happens. This is the science. So unless you know them so well that you know exactly how to surgically get in there and exactly say something, that will cut. But if it's said nicely, it works even better. Mm. Because then you don't have having to get over the false ego and stuff like that. Well, this is, they can't even use false ego. They just have to be submissive. So this is how, means the wife's supposed to be submissive to the husband. It means she does the activities and all that. But by her and sweet speech and all that, so it has the look that she's the submissive one. And in one sense, it is. And it works for the men perfectly. But in actuality, she totally controls the guy because of her sweet speech and her service. That's the whole point, is the man controls the woman controls the man. That's how it's a couple. Mm-hmm. If it's just he controls her and she doesn't have any control, that doesn't work. Or the other way around, it doesn't work.
But then he's supposed to be detached, so she actually doesn't actually control.
But the point is because he's sensitive, he responds too. Because he's sense controlled. That's how he can do it. Because the only way you can be detached if your senses are controlled. Therefore, she can't use her senses. It doesn't mean that she's not going to use them. But it doesn't work. In other words, it works just because that's her mood. So it's about her. It's not about her technique. And women can pick that up. They know. They know when they can't control the man, but he's doing everything they want. That's what's desired. Because if you actually control the man, then it's, you know, been there, done that. You move on to the next toy. Right?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that it doesn't work. But everything's going the way you want it, but you don't actually control.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
That's the thing. That's why it says this, acting like a hen-pecked husband. It doesn't say that one is a hen-pecked husband. Right? That's for, you know, the forest of material enjoyment. That's described there. That is the hen-pecked husband.
The heavenly plans.
Yeah, but the...
Indra?
Yeah. But then the, how do you call it? But he acts like one. So she's acting in a particular way. He's responded to that. But she can tell the difference between if she is controlled or if he's actually just, you know, being sensitive and taking care. So that means that's protecting the woman. So when you say you protect the woman, it means you're taking care of everything, but you're not controlled by it. Does that make sense? So we're talking about something very, very far out here. The experience, the everything is so much more than what is being offered by the modern. That's why the modern always stops when it looks like they have strong affection for each other. And the Vedic always starts there and doesn't bother with what's before that. Does that make sense? It's just like Draupadi, okay? Now, is it known or unknown that Drupad wants his daughter to marry Arjuna? It's a known fact. Everybody knows it. Right? So does that mean his daughter won't know that? But do we ever hear of her, you know, sitting around and, you know, talking about this and that? And no. So the point is these things go on, but that's not what's important. What's important is what they do after they're married. So therefore, you hear about Draupadi once she marries the Pandavas. Then how she applies herself, what she does. Why can she do that? You know, she's not walking in. They're sleeping on the floor. They're all there in line. The mother's at their head. She's at the feet. She's not going, I'm not sleeping there. You know, because it's all this is from before. That we don't hear about. We know what it is. In other words, if this is the duties that women do, this is what they're trained in. So that makes sense. Yeah. That's why when the boy comes home for a vacation, he doesn't necessarily wash any pots. If the girl comes home for vacation, she washes pots. Because it's a different training. Now, if the boy lives at home, then he washes pots. Okay, a chaste woman should not be greedy, but satisfied in all circumstances. Because greed won't get you any more. It'll just make you feel bad. Right? Greed is not an endeavor that produces results. Does that make sense? So therefore it's not value. Greed is never, unless it's like greedy to chant more japa, or, you know, or read more Krishna book. You know, that greed's okay. That one's okay. But on the material platform, being greedy, wanting more, doesn't get you any more. So that makes sense. Yeah. But satisfied in all circumstances. Whatever he's in, then satisfied, because that's what you're in. If you want something else, you'll be miserable. But if what your situation you're in, you're satisfied, then you'll be peaceful. That's the point. Then if you can improve that, great. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know. So that's the whole thing, is if you have something, you get something beyond, then it's nice. But if, no, it has to be like this, then, you know, then it's miserable, right? You have these, how you say, your cliche of, aristocratic woman, and how, you know, if anything's not just exactly the way she wants it, that she's terrible, like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's greed and not, not satisfied in all circumstances. Point is if this is the way it is, then it's nice. Right? So makes sense. Because situations change. The man's doing his best to see that she's the most comfortable in whatever the situation is, and she's trying to be satisfied in that situation. That combination will get good results. Right? Yeah. If she's not satisfied, there's nothing you can do about it. They go to the hotel, the rooms got mixed up, so the particular one that they wanted is not there. What can he do? He can go talk to the guy, go talk to the manager. It's not possible. It's already been booked for the last so many times. They're already living there. You can't throw them out. You know, so there's nothing you can do. So if she feels bad and that just harasses him and this and that, then what's it going to do? It's only going to strain the relationship. It's not going to improve. But if she said, oh, well, it would have been nice and that's it, and make do with what you have, then now you can do something. Okay, they don't have the ideal room, but other things can go on nice. So then go out, do something, do other things and this and that. But if this gets strained, then she doesn't want to do anything, she doesn't want to this and that, and then what's special and what is she gaining? Is she correcting the situation? Is she making it better and that? No. Right? And all this instruction is for the women. And if any of the men take this and whack the ladies up the side of the head with this, then, you know, then something
so
will come around. So help you God, because things will come around in a circle and bite you. Right? That's why generally discussions about women's duties are not discussed in a public environment. Like that. Because the men always take it, they're always too stupid to understand it. Like that. You know, but because it's come out in this, we're discussing more. If it was in the morning one, we would not have gotten past this. We'd be still arguing over this and that. But, you know, but my wife this, and but my husband that. It's just a... like that.
Pick your battles.
Yeah. Yeah. She must be very expert in handling household affairs. Right, so that's the whole thing, how to deal with all these things. So that's part of another aspect of managing the house. She's acquiring things, but she can manage it, the whole thing, nicely. So that's the point, is this, oh, it's just this. She has to be a good manager, doesn't mean she's an administrator. She's a good manager. Right? Some sense. So, you know, where's this thing of that women don't have? They have a very powerful position. It's just they apply the same qualities that the man has in a different environment that is feminine friendly. That's all. Little louder.
You can say that as you're discussing, and you're saying that the modern culture is aimed at having no femininity as such, because they just, because Prabhupada also said that they're just exploiting and converting.
Yes. But the point is, who is exploiting the women? We can say the men are, but how can men exploit women unless women make it available? So the point is, and why would the women make it available? Because they get benefit from it. So women exploit that womanness to get what they want. But this here is how to use it properly. This is pious. Right? But the modern context, it's not pious. So it's not that women don't try to take advantage of women. You know what I'm saying? You know, the guy has a thing, there's another guy who's into the thing, and, you know, then I'll kind of balance, is it worth it, and this and that. The woman will just, you know, nuke everybody. She wants to do this for this festival, and if anybody gets in the way, it's just, you know, how you say? What's that saying for it's just totally devastated? You know, they just bomb everything. And the term for it, just, you know, total wasteland. You know, nothing can grow on that afterwards. No relationship, no nothing. Because they got what they wanted. But they don't notice they destroyed everything in the process. You understand? So, who's harsher with women? Women who aren't trained as women are the harshest with women. They're much harsher than men. Because generally, most men, they kind of attach to their mom, so there is a kind of a soft sentiment on that side. But with women, it's like, you know, they don't necessarily have that. Sorry, it's all a little too, you know, it says it truthful.
Straightforward.
Straightforward, yeah. I hope no one's getting upset or anything.
Don't reveal too many secrets.
Yeah. But even if we reveal so many, there's unlimited, so, you know. Yeah, but it's true. It's true. Okay. We're almost finished here, like that. So, you know, things will go. Yeah.
We're on Srinarad Muni continues.
It's always... Srinarad Muni continued. Next one also, no? Srinarad Muni continued, yeah. It's far, far out. Yeah. But that, I didn't see that in other cantos. There's so much here with Prahlad Maharaj, with Narad Muni, it's always... So, yeah, because other ones, you know, somebody says something for a couple of, you know, verses, and then it moves on to somebody else, and this and that, but in this canto, it's basically the whole canto is spoken by Narad Muni and Prahlad Maharaj.
Yeah. You know?
Okay, and should be fully conversant with religious principles, right? Because what does religion do? Religion is how to piously deal with something. You deal with it piously, what happens? You get success, you get good results. And what do good results do, right? If you get good results, that's called gain. And having that gain, then there's a feeling of safety. Right? So for women, it's about protection. So it's about creating a safe environment. So that means you have to acquire that which will make it safe. Does that make sense?
So again, appeasing the mind.
Appeasing the mind. Yeah. So that's why you have to be fully conversant with religious principles. So that's why it means is the woman won't break those. So to that degree that she has the faith and commitment to religious principles, she should marry someone who has the same. And so then it won't be a problem. Like for the let's say for a Kshatriya woman, then she doesn't have a problem that her husband's going out to battle, because that's Kshatriya values. Like with I can't remember who it was, but it was one battle. The king went out, and they were defeated. You know, so he came back himself, And then you know, the messenger came and said, your husband's back from the battle. And then she asked, did he win? And he said, no, they were defeated. Then she said, no, then that must not be my husband. That's an imposter. Because my husband will either win or come back dead. So then he went back out and won. So that's the whole point, you know. So that's equally matched.
Yeah.
So she inspires him in his duties and his religion. So she wouldn't say, oh, so glad you're back, I'm glad you know. No, it's a matter of, says, you know, the point is, her husband's glorious. So he's either a victor or he's dead and went to the heavenly planets. You know, so either they'll enjoy here, they'll enjoy there. So it's not just on that bodily concept. So that's the difference between Brahman and Kshatriyas and others. So the point is, because of that Brahminical culture. So therefore, Brahman, Kshatriyas, and Vaishnavas, that will be common. You know, it's about devotion to service.
Okay. She should speak pleasingly and truthfully. Right now it's pleasingly and truthfully. And should be very careful and always clean and pure.
These have been repeated. What does that mean? According to Vimamsa, is repetition means these are very important. In other words, you've heard all that. Now, what of these are very important? Speaking pleasingly, truthfully, should be very careful and always clean and pure. But careful means, you know, you're careful about what you're doing. Right? So that's the modesty and things like that. You're careful so you don't do something that can backfire and do something wrong. So better to err on the side of caution than be rash. Right? Like that.
Thus, a chaste woman should engage with affection in the service of a husband who is not fallen.
Right? So that's the position, is that who's not fallen, then she engages. She follows all these things. If he is fallen, then it's just a matter of then, you know, she's also enjoying the, you know, bucket ride, then that's another thing. But if not, then that's another thing. We'll see what Prabhupada says it. I think he'll mention separation. Right? So, okay. See, we're going through this, but once we get through this, then we're going to go back over this, because, as we said in the not from women,
we're going to go through and get into the
no, like that. Is remember when we were saying is that, let's say it talks about charity in Manu, right? So everybody's giving in charity, because sacrifice, austerity, and charity is every human being's duty. But if we're going to give example of detail of charity, who are we going to use? What?
Balimar.
No. Because austerity, charity, and sacrifice, this is ashram duties. So which ashram are we going to use? No, ashram. Grihasthas. Okay. Does that make sense? So like that. But that's going to be the point. It's there. But let's say we're talking about administration, everybody's managing, but we're going to talk about with Kshatriyas. We're going to talk about studying the scriptures and things like that. We're going to give the example of Brahmins. Everyone follows those rules, but the example is given there because it's the fullest. Right? So, now these principles that are being given here, then these are discussed about women. Right? But they also apply to brahmacharis. They apply to, disciples, and to shudras. Right? So it's the most full here, but the same applies to all these others. Does that make sense? So we're going to go back over and touch on this point. Okay, Srila Prabhupada comments. Anyone who is a devotee is sinless. One who is not a devotee, however, is the most fallen and condemned. Right? Just automatically, even if they're a nice guy, they're still fallen and condemned. Because where are they being a nice guy? Right? You know, it's just like in prison. There's a guy, he's a little bit nice. You know, he's not stabbing everybody in the shower with a sharpened toothbrush. Right? So he's a nice guy. But he's a nice guy where? In the prison. So that's the whole point, is that you're in the material world, then one is most fallen and condemned because they're not connecting it to Krishna. even if they're nice. But most aren't nice, so we don't, you know. And one who's devotee is sinless because whatever he's doing is trying to do it for Krishna. So even if there's mistakes, it's mistakes on what? What's the path? Right? Devotional service. So they slip on that path. But it's not about the sin, it's about the devotional service. So that's why you can say they are sinless. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's dangerous to focus on anything else other than the path of pure devotion. Because pure devotion, all the advantages are there. If one wants to say that you know, being practical on the material platform is very important, then you have to bring out the other side because it's most fallen and condemned. Does that make sense? Yeah. It is recommended, therefore, that a chaste wife not associate with a fallen husband. Right? Because the whole point is it's about being a devotee. Like this, Nard Muni is talking to devotees. So this is how Daivavarnashram functions. Right. A fallen husband is one who is addicted to the four principles of sinful activity, namely illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. Specifically, one is not a soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is understood to be contaminated. Therefore, devotees marry devotees. Right? Like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. If one's in a situation before that, one is buried before becoming a devotee, then, you know, it's kind of, that's life. You know, but the whole idea is that principle is maintained because one has to. Maintaining one's Krishna consciousness is more valuable. Like that. If they're mundaners, then they're all, how you say, fallen and condemned. So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, this part of the garbage pile or that part of the garbage pile. There's some variety, but it's all. Yeah.
It seems quite often. Devotees, they do go through difficult periods in their devotional life. It's not that they're not surrendered soul.
Yes, but that's the point. But there's difficulties within trying to practice devotional service.
Yes,
yeah, he did. But that was a bee. Yeah, because the others don't leave their stingers. The lights, because then sometimes if they have a hive around them, they get attracted by the lights. Okay. Yes.
So, if they have difficulties in the process,
it's really a sort of
thing. Okay.
So sometimes devotees use it as an excuse to separate, say, see, he was fallen.
The whole point is are they trying to? No, but the point is separation is not divorce. You know, separation means now is not advantageous to spend time together, so you don't.
But you can also help. That was also proper.
That's the whole point is you try to help, you try to make it work. It's not that as soon as anything's there, then that means then there's no satisfaction. The point is if this is something, the relationship is so nice and then somebody has a problem, you help. But if as soon as something goes wrong, then you leave it, then and especially if you get married soon, then there may be a doubt on what's the quality of, you know what I'm saying? So the whole point is it all has to be judged. These are the principles on which you're working and giving working details so you can understand how to apply. But then you have to see the situation. So the point is one is sincerely trying, one makes mistakes. So just as the husband makes mistakes, the wife makes mistakes. You know, so everybody's having their own, you know, and because they're individuals, then where they're having their problems are going to be different. Like that, you know. So, okay. Specifically, if one is not a soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is understood to be contaminated. So that's going to be. So if one's trying to surrender to the Lord, then it works out more nicely. Thus, a chaste woman is advised not to agree to serve such a husband. Right? So, one is don't marry him in the first place, and second, if it comes out that way, because that was the question this morning, what happens if they go this direction? Then, you know, then at that point, one's not serving. One may maintain basic duties, but if one finds it's not correcting itself, then one separates. Right? But separating means the difficulties that come along with separation also come with the deal. It is not that a chaste woman should be like a slave while her husband is a Naradhama, the lowest of men.
Although the duties of women are different from those of a man, a chaste woman is not meant to serve a fallen husband. So it's the whole thing, no matter what the situation does in that. In general varnashram, you might do that, but in daiva varnashram, because it's for elevation, how you'll elevate yourself. Right? Husband and wife are getting together because they will help in elevating themselves. They work as a team to help each other, right? Because in other words, the natures are opposite, so where one's strong, that's where the other's weak, so they can support each other. That's the whole point. Right? If her husband has fallen, it's recommended that she give up his association. Giving up the association of her husband does not mean, however, that a woman should marry again and thus indulge in prostitution. Because right? That's also a point, is that it goes on. Because what is prostitution? Right, using the feminine nature for profit. Right, so that's one's following all the duties, this and that. Benefit is there, but it's not that it's being done specifically like that. Right, does that make sense? So the Westerners have a very narrow understanding of prostitution. They only know the lowest level of prostitution. The second and first level, they don't even understand. So the point is that they work for that profit. In other words, just like that's why we were saying this morning, Ajamil's wife is called a prostitute. Right? We don't hear of her being with someone else. He's with that prostitute and he's been with her for whatever it is, 60 years or more. But the point is that she's using her feminine graces and all that simply to get material benefit. So it's not a matter of duties and cooperation and elevation and all that. It's simply mercenary. That's prostitution. Does that make sense? So, you know, going from one situation to another because it's just a better material situation, that's prostitution on that one point. Mm-hmm. Another thing it mentions that, I forget what's the number, I think Kunti mentions it. You go through a certain number of men, and after that, it's prostitution.
More than three.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Like that, with different men, yeah, okay, different demigods. Yeah, so more than three. So that also is a principle, like that. So, the basic principle is whatever happens before Krishna consciousness, we don't worry about. But once we join Krishna consciousness, then we worry. It's like in the market, you go to buy something. You don't worry about that. You know, it's that you see potatoes, they look okay, you buy them. You don't worry that, you know, the sack of potatoes is where the guy slept the night before. Before that, they rolled it down the street. Before that, that was on a truck with guys who were eating their moslamuri and dropping it all over. You don't worry about all that. Right?
No, I do.
Huh? No, because things touched by the hand of a shooter are still considered pure. You understand? So, therefore, you know, since everybody in Kali Yuga is shudra, therefore, girls have been touched before, they're still pure. Like that. That's the point. Now, once they come into Krishna consciousness, now you worry about these things. Right. Does that make sense? Yeah, because the guys aren't much better, but whatever. Yeah. Okay. If a chaste woman unfortunately marries a husband who has fallen, she should live separately from him. Similarly, a husband can separate himself from a woman who is not chaste according to the descriptions of the Shastra. It says Shastra, not his own idea. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? He's behaving badly, she doesn't behave badly, and then he says he'll separate because she doesn't. That's not cool. Right? The conclusion is that a husband should be a pure Vaishnava and that a woman should be a chaste wife with all the symptoms described in this regard. Right? And this is being described now, you know, in a few paragraphs in the seventh canto. And so all before this and basically all after this will be describing what a pure Vaishnava is. You know, so if they're saying, well, where's the discussion about the husband? The whole Bhagavatam is about what he should be doing. And then you have a few verses what she should be doing. Right? So. Yeah, okay.
Why doesn't say that she should also become a pure Vaishnava?
Because the point is being a chaste wife is the minimum. If she can do that and he's a pure Vaishnava, she maintains that chastity wherever, if he goes back to Godhead, she will, even if she's not a pure devotee. Right?
Does that make sense? But if the wife is a pure devotee and the husband's just chaste and attached, and he thinks of her at the time of death, then he'll be born as a woman here. She'll go back to Godhead, but he'll be born here. So all this talk about equal, it's like, why would you want to give up the Vedic, you know, concept? It's so unequal for equal. So unequal in favor of the women. Why would you want to give that up for, you know, the modern concept of equality? You understand? Now, if she can be a pure Vaishnava also, even better. But at least at minimum, if she's a chaste wife, then she'll get all the benefits. Because whatever he does, she gets half the benefits anyway. And whatever she does wrong, he gets all the, you know, benefits also.
And whatever he does wrong?
That's his problem. I mean, she's got bad association, but the reaction doesn't fall on her. Because she's a dependent, her reactions fall on him. You know what I'm saying? So from any angle you look at it, where's the equality here? You know, like that. But we won't discuss this one. Okay. Yes?
One of the commentaries, Sri Prabhupada writes that when the Pandavas and Draupadi, they were leading on that, when they were leading toward Draupadi and Subhadra had to take care of themselves. And then
to take care of themselves, but they were going along with them.
But
when they went on Mahaprasthan, Draupadi went along with them. So she was there, so they'll see that nothing goes wrong, but she can't do all the emotional trips of possession on them. She has to take care of herself. You understand?
In the sense that when the leading departed, they had to go back to God. Like everyone was riding their own plane. So
they are riding their own plane, but they were all going together. When they went on Mahaprasthan, you haven't heard the thing is then everybody falls off the mountain one by one and only Yudhishthira's left, and as they fall off, then he says what was the fault, why they fell off. Okay, so that's the point. She was with them. But it means that she has to take care of herself in that she does what she does, and they don't have to tell her she looks fabulous and everything's going to be okay and all that kind of stuff, and she's not going to milk that and all that kind of jazz like that, you know. So in other words, it's just they're doing this and that's it, so she takes care of herself, right? But the point is she takes, but here if she follows these duties, she does take care of herself, and that if she remembers the husband who is a pure devotee, then whatever he attains, she attains that. That's the method. Now if she can remember Krishna, even better. Okay. Then both of them will be happy and make spiritual progress in Krishna consciousness. That way they'll both be happy, they'll both advance spiritually. But if they don't, he's not a pure Vaishnava, she's not a chaste wife, then to that degree that goes down, then that degree there'll be problem. So in other words, even on this platform, happy marriages, happy community, it's still based on the same principle. There's only spiritual solutions to material problems. There are no material solutions to material problems. There's definitely no material solutions to spiritual problems. That's really off the wall. Right? You know, so it's just, that's the way it is. That's how it works. Right? This is my thing. Okay? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sabha Veta Bhakti Niki, Jainatai Gorpin.